Why can I say I am God? I ask myself that question, and I come up with an answer. I come up with an answer that says to me something that is satisfactory to me. I can say I am God, because it's necessary. I can say I am God since all of the universe is created by God. I have chosen to say that a God, the God, God created the universe. The God created all that's in the universe. The God created how it is to be expressed, how it is to live, how it is to procreate, how it is to continue to exist, how it is to enjoy itself and enjoy the rest of the world, how even this creation that is so unique and so special in itself looks around and enjoys other creation. It looks around and enjoys other people. It looks around and enjoys the sky. It looks around and enjoys the forest. It looks around and enjoys all the beautiful things. Unlimited. Unlimited. Yes, that's what God is. God is unlimited. And I, an expression of God, a creation of God, am unlimited. Now, whatever God is, it is what it is. And it is all that it is. And it's not something that's less or more, it's just all. And anything that God creates has in it all that it is. We've seen that on the creation on earth here. Parents who have children, the children have the genes and chromosomes and all that good stuff that the parents have in them. And the parents, if they have a loving attitude, the children usually have a loving attitude, but that's not something that's born into them. That's something that's trained into them by how the parents respond to their life and their world, and how the children respond to the parents and their life and their world. What is it that is in God that is in all men? Are all things the same in every man and every woman and every child? Are all of the creative causes, all the creative essences that exist, are they all present in every single man, woman, child? And the answer is yes. Why is it that some of the creation are more exceptional, more unusually wonderful beings than others? Why is it that some are more talented? Some are musical geniuses, they're artistic geniuses. Some are beautifully charismatic people who everybody gets along with so wonderfully. And others do not have that same charismatic experience that endears them to all the people. How come? Well, the endearment is in everyone. The talent is in everyone. The genius is in everyone. All that any are, all are. How do they express it then more beautifully than others? How come? Some people seem to have an easy time. They just have the talent, they have the skill, they have the wisdom to do the things they want to do. How come? Well, some people are delighted in the fact that God created them and that they, ipso facto, or they also, are God. They are delighted in that concept. They think, wow, isn't that the greatest? God created me, and all that God is, I am. And then, because it takes attention to the fact, because it takes attention to the idea that it is so, many of God's creation, many of the creation, many people say they are not all that God is. They are not the essence of God. the allness of God. They say they are not, because if they said they were, then every instant of their expression, they would be the totality of God, as God is. And they say, I'm not always the expression of God at all times. How come? I'm not the fulfillment of everything that I'm supposed to be as a creation of God and as God itself. So, therefore, I'm really not God. And that's what we tell ourselves. We tell ourselves this because it gets us off the hook of who and what we really are. When we tell a child to be a good boy or be a good girl, we're telling them to be what their natural proclivity is, what their natural mannerism of living is. Why then, if it's their natural manner of living, are they not always expressing that which is their natural manner? The reason is that it takes a little bit of physical effort to do these things. Now, we've been saying, I am God, God I am, in our 1 hour morning meditation. And as we've been saying that, we have been contradicting what our attitude is about this. Our attitude is that we are not God. Our attitude is we are not all of God, certainly. And our attitude is we are not even a little bit of God. Because if we were a little bit of God, we would be whatever we feel God is. No. That's another point, too. What do I feel God is? Is my God big enough to encompass what God really is? Or am I short-circuiting or short-cutting or not taking all of the essence of God that is and that exists? I want to say I am God, and I want to know that I am God, and yet I do not do it. I do not say it. I do not claim it. All of my compatriots, all of my fellow beings on this planet Earth find it difficult to say too. They find it difficult to say, oh no, think of an autistic child. An autistic child can do some magical things and it just makes them, to us, appear very spectacular. Now, how can they do those magical things without putting forth a great deal of effort to make them do it? How can they do what they do without giving it so much effort that it becomes tiresome and bothersome and not pleasant at all? Well, what they do is they don't know they're talented. They just are. They don't know they're a genius. They just are. They don't know they have this wonderful gift with numbers or music or all the things that they could have. They don't know that. They know it, but they don't know it. They do not fight it because it's just natural in them. Something in the beginning said, you can do it, and then they did it, and so then they always believed and always acted as though they could do it. Now, we haven't been told from the very beginning that we can do things. In fact, we've been told that we can't do things. Who do you think you are? The pure white light of the pure white driven snow? Who do you think you are? The perfection of the universe? Who do you think you are? God? Do you think that you're perfect? Do you think you're wonderful? Yes, that's right. But do we really? And the answer is yes, we don't really think so. We think a little bit, but not a lot. How can we develop in ourselves the opportunity, the ability, the expression of ourself as God under all circumstances, at all times, always 100% God? How can we do that? Well, just as a little child doesn't know how to walk, it learns how to walk. Just as a little child doesn't know a lot of things, it knows how to do them, it learns. How does it learn? It learns by trial and error oftentimes. It learns by experimentation. It learns by probing the possibilities of it. You and I do the same thing. We probe the possibilities of what we can do, who we are, where we're going, what our goals are, what we can achieve. We probe those possibilities. We reach for the limits of our box. And then, little by little, we peek over the edge of the box and we see a great, wonderful world out there. And we climb out of the box, and we have a fall first. We climb out of the box, and we want to be in that world. And we see people walking around in that world. We see people talking in that world. We see people singing and dancing and living a happy life and doing whatever they want to do when they want to do it. And we can't do that. We have to cry, or we have to sigh. We have to get the attention of someone to come and help us. So we're dependent on others, and this dependency makes us feel that we are not as good as the others are. This dependency has always made us feel a little less than the angels, a little less than God, a little less than what we are. But we want to be all that we are. We want to know why we can say we're God. We want to know that we can demonstrate every aspect of our divine nature right now without having to grow up. We don't want to have to grow up. We don't want to have to. Many children can do many adult things very beautifully because they don't know that they can't do it. We have the ability to live in, so to speak, an adult world, a mature world, but it's an unfortunate thing that we can. Because the mature world says there are rules to the game, there are limits to the game, there are limits to the things that we can do and the places we can go and the actions that we can take and the life that we can live. There are limits. And these limits, surely God doesn't have any limits, my goodness sakes. Why are we putting limits on ourselves when we call ourselves God and then we say we have limits? God's unlimited. God isn't limited. And we say, God cannot do certain things. We say, God cannot work with mechanical equipment and make it run perfectly. We say that God cannot raise the dead. We say that God cannot manifest instantly anything it chooses to manifest. Well, we say, well, maybe God can, but we are not sure of it. We're not sure of it because we have been so long from experiencing it. We've been so long from recognizing God being God under all circumstances that we have learned to live with the concept that God is limited. And now the big point that we want to arrive at is that we have an unlimited God, and we want to recognize that unlimited God is not only around, through, and as us, but it is in us, and we are it. I call that unlimited God in me. I call it forth when I say, I am God, God I am. I call it forth whenever I say, yes, I can. Yes, the divine in me knows the answer. Yes, all things are done right now. Yes, it is done, it is done, it is done. Yes, and it's done. Now you say, well, when I make a statement like that, it doesn't always work out that way. It's not always done. When I make a statement like that, most of the time, the statement doesn't work out. I say to my dead dog, rise, and it stays dead. I say to my dead world, whoever it may be, rise, come back, rise. And they don't do it. Why? I say to those who are sick around me, including myself, You're whole and perfect. And they don't act whole and perfect instantly. Why? If I'm God, they should certainly do that. If I say, I would like to have a little more abundance in my life. My bank account is always full. Full to overflowing, always. And then I go to my bank account and it's not full to overflowing. What's going on here? I either am God or I'm not. And if I'm God, I can speak my word and bring forth all things according to my choice, not out of doubt, not out of lack, not out of any previous non-existence, but out of what is already an existence. And as I learn to think in that realm, as I learn to think in that manner, as I learn to say, yes, I am God. And the evidence that I am God is that as I speak my word, it is fulfilled. As I say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, what do I perceive my ideal spirit, body? What do I perceive my ideal spirit, mind, and body? What do I perceive it to be? Do I perceive it to be wholeness, absolute wholeness? Do I perceive it to be limitless, endless, eternal, immortal? Do I perceive it to be strong and powerful, capable of doing anything it chooses to do? Do I perceive my spirit, mind, and body able to think a thought and bring that thought into manifestation at any moment I choose? Because it already exists, and I am merely revealing it. Can I do that? Yes. Do I do that? All the time. Do I know I do it? No. You think the machinations of life and its force is what's doing it, and it's not your word. But actually, it is your word. You say, okay, I now have vegetables on the table, and I have a table full of food, and it's wonderful, and I have a good meal. So I eat the meal, and I feel very satisfied. And somebody else comes along, and they say, oh, where'd you get the food? And you say, I spoke my word, and it was there. Oh, come on, now get off it. Where'd you get the food? Well, I spoke my word. No, you didn't. You went to the grocery store. You bought it at the grocery store, or you grow some in your own backyard. You got the food through a process of evolvement, a process of creation, a process of development. It just didn't spring forth on your table from your thought. Well, it did, but I play the game that it comes through a process. And as long as I play the game that it comes through a process, I will always need to have the process before I can have anything that I choose to have. Now that should come to an end. And that should come to an end right now. Because I should speak my word at all times for anything that I choose and have it be revealed to me out of the infinite allness where it already exists, and I should then and there enjoy it. Absolutely, wonderfully enjoy it. My goodness. Were I able to do that, I'd call myself God. When I act as though it is so, and it is, then I can say, I'm God. I'm God revealing these things. I am God shining them forth as complete, wonderful, fantastic. I am God. I am God speaking my word and bringing forth all that is. I am God even if I plant my seeds, even if I plant my crops in water and nurture them, even if I go out and harvest them, even if I bring them into the house and wash them and put them on the table, even if I set them on the table on plates and cut them up into nice portions. It's me. It's me as God acting, doing these things, but why do I do it in such a tedious manner? Why do I do it not as simply as I could, but I go the long route? All because I don't believe that I am really God, and that as God I speak my word and bring forth whatever it is in my life. In fact, I don't even speak my word. I don't even speak my word. I think my thought, and it's there. I think my thought, and my world is revealed to me. I think my thought, and everything I choose to think about is in my life. I think I'm independently wealthy, and my bank account is overflowing. I think all good things, and all good things are mine, because I, as God, in the absolute of God, don't even have to think. All things are there before I even think. Before you ask, the Father answers, Jesus tells us. But before we ask, before we seek, it already exists. And ours is merely to realize that we're making it known to ourselves in our world now. We are revealing it to ourselves right now, and we're enjoying it right now, and we're living it and finding it to be a most satisfactory experience. We've had the practice of going out and planting our crops. We've had the practice of going to the store and buying our merchandise. We've had the practice of having friends bring us things, or we take things to friends. We have gotten out of the practice of thinking our thought, speaking our word, and bringing forth all the good that we are. We've gotten out of the practice of speaking our word and saying all is in divine order. We've gotten out of that practice. And because we've gotten out of that practice, we are not as demonstrative or capable of doing those things as we are, because we've gotten out of the practice. They say if you learn to roller skate with a pair of roller skates, you'll never forget. If you learn to ride a bike, you'll never forget. If you learn to sail a boat, you'll never forget. If you learn to speak your word and bring forth the universal abundance ever-present around you, in you, and through you, you'll never forget. But you need a little practice to get going on the bike again, because you've been off it for a long time. And then you get on and you go. Ellen's grandson had a motorcycle, and I came out to look at it and admire it. And he says, "Well, Herb, go take it for a spin." Well, now, without even thinking, I didn't have a license to drive in Switzerland, and I didn't have a motorcycle license, which is what you especially need also. I just got on the motorcycle, and I drove it up around the block and turned around and did everything just perfect with it and came right back. And my equilibrium, my balance, my ability to drive it was just perfect. And I parked it when I came back, and I said, "Thanks a lot, Marcello. That's very lovely of you to share your motorcycle with me. Very nice. It rides beautifully. It's perfectly balanced. It's harmonious. It's fun. Thank you." He said, "Take it anytime you want. Take it anytime you want. You've ridden it. You've ridden it now. So now take it anytime you want. You're comfortable with it. So take it anytime you want. Take it anytime you want." This is what the divine in us says. Start practicing bringing forth the infinite substance of the universe, and take it any time you want. Use it any time you want to enjoy, to fulfill your choices, to fulfill your needs. You don't have to go to the store anymore. You don't have to go out and till your fields and bring your harvest in. You don't have to stand at the sink and wash your vegetables and prepare them. You don't have to cook your meats. You don't have to do anything. You speak your word and the meal is complete right there on the table in front of you and it is done. This is how God works. Now how do we build that ability to do that? We've always had it. But how do we rebuild that ability in us to do it? Well, we visualize that we are doing it. We visualize that it's done. We visualize that we are manifesting, creating, bringing forth all things that delight us. And that's pretty exciting, isn't it? That's pretty wonderful. We visualize this and we bring this forth in our life and we say, wow, isn't that great? That is really super. And we mentally practice it. Now, can you, right where you are, with your eyes closed, visualize your table at your home? Can you visualize the dishes on the table? Can you visualize the dishes are already prepared with food? Lovely portion of food for each member of the family? Can you visualize it and see it there? If you can, you've made a wonderful step in the recognition that whatever you think about, whatever you mentally create, you can bring forth. Now you say, well, visualization is one thing and bringing forth is another thing. Okay, if you want to play that game, you go right ahead. You say, visualization is not real. Visualization is just imagination. It's just fantasy. Well, is it really? Is visualization perhaps the real first step to bringing forth whatever it is we think about? Is visualization perhaps one of the first steps for a human to return to his original purity and integrity? Of the human realizing that all exists and he speaks his word and has it appear in his world. It already exists and it already appears everywhere. But now he has it appear in his world. Can you visualize your car in front of your house? A car that you had not had before, a very special, lovely car. Can you visualize your house? Maybe you don't have a house. Maybe you have an apartment. Maybe you have a room, whatever. But can you visualize a house that delights you? A house that makes you feel wonderful and good? Can you visualize that? Well, generally speaking, you can. But generally speaking, when you visualize a house, you visualize it so grand, so opulent, so filled with every good thing, that the credulity, the belief that it actually will happen and will take place in your life is not there. You say, it's too good to be true. You say, that's what I would like, but that's not what I would get, because I'm not worthy of getting it. I'm not worthy of having a house that meets all of my needs and my pleasures. And you see, our trouble is we look at a house and we say, well, this house has to have so many bedrooms, it has to have this, it has to have that. Instead of doing that, all of these things already exist. You just say to yourself, I now have my ideal divine home right now. I now have my ideal divine home right now. I have my ideal divine home right now. And then let it go. And every time you think of house or your house, you say or think, I now have my ideal home. My ideal home right now. And as you say that, and as you have that in your mind, the picture begins to develop in your mind. And pretty soon, the fact is there also. When we speak our word, when we continuously speak our word, we build up within ourselves a reservoir of understanding of truth. We build up a reservoir of ideas and concepts which include the fact of our ideal house, our perfect house, the house that suits every desire of our heart. We don't think of money. We don't think of where it's to be or why it's to be or how it's to be. We just say, I now have my ideal home. And then that home comes forth in your mind. That comes forth in your consciousness. It comes forth as your fantasy. It comes forth as something that you conceive of for yourself. And as you keep putting that cause in motion, then you build up the idea that thoughts are things, and it is possible to bring them forth in my life. Thoughts are things, and I can do it. And so no matter what it is, as God, if you think it, it's done. Bah! And God only thinks in ideal thoughts, so there's no problem. It's always perfect. You and I, we think in thoughts relative to what we think we can afford or what we think we can bring out in our world. How big is your God? How big is your choice of who and what you are? As we think of ourselves as unlimited, as we think of ourselves as thought beings and create with thought alone, then we unlimit ourselves and we reveal to ourselves that things are spectacular, things are outstanding, things are wonderful. Why can I say I'm God? Because I can put those causes in motion. I can put those conditions in motion. I can bring those things forth in my life because I know by speaking my word, it is done. By speaking my word, it is fulfilled, and I have done it myself. Now, do I want to do that? Do I want to have a perfect life? Do I want to be God that I really am? If I really speak my word and say, I am God, God I am, then all things are done through me, because God is all. So every house in the universe is there, every abundance in the universe is there, every circumstance is done. And we think to ourselves, I haven't done anything to do it. Oh, yes, you have. You have put yourself in line with the divine in you, with your ideal self. And you are revealing your ideal self in all that you do. And as you reveal your divine self in all that you do, life is overwhelmingly wonderful. Life is overwhelmingly good. It's overwhelmingly exciting. It's overwhelmingly something that just takes us and titillates us and says, isn't that great? That's great. Oh, that's so super. That's so wonderful, you know? And then we are doing all the things we choose to do. You want to take a vacation. You don't think about when you can take it or how you can take it. You're just there. Pop. And how does the room get paid? How does the hotel get paid? How does the transportation get? Are you enjoying the trip or are you enjoying being there? And if you're enjoying the trip, well, then you see yourself on a jet or you see yourself on a liner. You see yourself doing whatever it is that gives you a thrill, gives you a feeling of, boy, that is great. And the more you do that, the more it happens. I often have the experience of going somewhere, and I drive or I walk, and I'm there. And after I'm there, and I say, how did I get here? I don't remember walking. I don't remember driving. I don't remember anything. How did I get here? Well, I became absolutely one with what I was doing. And as I was one with and as all that I was doing, I was there already. I was experiencing it. I was knowing it. I was enjoying it. It's a simple, wonderful process. It's a simple, wonderful thing, but it means the abandonment of all that you've been told. It says you have to work for what you get, you have to slave for what you get, you have to go out and prove yourself worthy of it. And the Divine says to you, number one, you're God. So you're worthy of all that you are. And number two, all that you think about already exists. Yours is to put a claim in for it. Yours is to choose it and say it's mine now. Now each of us think different thoughts of what is ours. Each of us think different thoughts of what it is we like to bring forth. But it's all the same. It's all the same. It is done now. It is fulfilled now. It is revealed now. There's nothing more to do. It is accomplished in its most wonderful, beautiful way, and right now. How can I bring that forth in my world? It exists in the universal allness. How can I bring it forth in my world? Other people bring it forth in their world. Oh, you say, well, they have money or they have whatever they have. No, other people bring it forth because they think the thought, and their thought has the awareness to reveal it to them. The thought doesn't make it happen. The thought merely shows you where your enjoyment stands, where your pleasure rides. Your pleasure rides on going on a boat. Your pleasure rides on walking. Your pleasure rides on wearing lovely clothes. Your pleasure rides wherever. And that, where does your pleasure rise? Wherever that is, that's where your thought is. It's not that you don't have it. It's just that your thought comes in stages, apparently. And one stage says you'd like it, and another stage says it exists, and another stage says, I have it. Now, we can walk right to that third stage right away and say, I have it. We can enter into that awareness that all that exists in the universe exists right now, right at my fingertips. And I awaken to whatever it is that pleases me, and I bring that forth. It's so simple and beautiful and wonderful, so fantastic, and it works every time. And it's something that I am learning to recognize. And it's, you don't learn it. You come to the point in your consciousness, you come to the point in your awareness where you say, it is done. It is done. And then, there it is, all done. But so long as you say you're going to learn it, you're going to work on it, you're going to do things to make it happen, then you're saying you do not have it in your world, in your consciousness, in your life, and it does not exist. You're trying to manufacture something out of nothing. And nothing can be manufactured from nothing. It's only when we have the substance of that idea in our mind and we bring it forth in our experience and we have a wonderful time with it. It's just our choice. It's just something that thrills us and makes us feel good. But it's also something that we have claimed as true for us. I have my perfect home. I do. I have my perfect car. I do. I have my perfect world. I do. And on and on and on. As you get in the habit of saying things like this all the time, you'll find even in areas where you would like to see something that you don't apparently have yet, you're speaking your word and it will be there in the flow. Perfect health will be there in the flow. Immortality will be there in the flow. All good will be there in the flow. It's a matter of when and how do you want it? How are you making your claim upon it? Are you believing that it's something that you're worthy of or not worthy of? All of those questions come up and confuse us. We don't have to be worthy of anything. We put the cause in motion and the effect is there, whether we are good people or bad people, whether we deserve it or whether we don't. Principle has no concern about our morals and our attitudes and things like that. It's only we who have concern, and we who say, if you're not good, it won't work for you. That's not true. Goodness has nothing to do with things. Goodness has nothing to do with our world, except insofar as if we don't believe we're worthy of it and we want it, we go out and steal it, or we go out and get it by force. And when we get it by force, then it's not really ours. It's not really something that's going to last and bring us happiness. It may, in fact, bring us unhappiness because somebody reports it's stolen, we go to jail for stealing something. So, you see, when we live these principles, we live these thoughts, we live in the consciousness that all is in divine order now. We live in the consciousness that whatever I choose in my thought already exists, and I merely reveal it to myself. It's so simple, so beautiful, so powerful, so wonderful, so good, and it is what you do and what I do all the time. But we have tried to make ourselves believe that we went to the store and bought it. We tried to make ourselves believe that it was a gift from somebody. We tried to make ourselves believe that we did not have that before we did not have it. We try to make that our reality, and it's silly. For whatever you have in your consciousness, you always had it, and you have it now. Whatever you have in your consciousness, you own it, you possess it, you use it. Whatever. And contrary to the fact that it appears it's not there, it is there. It is there, and you are using it, and you are delighting in it, and you are enjoying it, because you're the creator of your world. You are absolute. You are the positive, fantastic creator of your world who puts all things in proper perspective. And the proper perspective is, I enjoy it now, right now, and always. And when you enjoy it right now and always, you feel so good about it. You feel so complete about it. There's no thought that it's not in your world. The thought is that it's in your world, and it's in your world. As we build this concept in our being, that it's in our world, that we have it now, that it's ours now, then as that illustration, we have it. We reveal it. We experience it. We enjoy it right now. Everybody has that opportunity. Everybody has that privilege of working from that point of view. Everyone. Now, for you, do you want to know why you can say you're God? Do you want to know why you can say you are the infinite, you are the allness? Well, if you think you need a reason, or a reason to be able to say it, then you may never find one. But when you begin realizing that all things are yours right now, all things are demonstrated and demonstrable in your life right now, and this is who you are, because you're God. And everything confirms that to you. Now take a pause and return on the hour, and we'll continue with our 3-hour meditation.